Dear brothers and sisters, I greet you in the words of our Holy Father, St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. If I may, let me introduce myself once again. My name is Father Bernard Murphy, and I am one of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. There are some of our other brothers here with us. It is our privilege to join with you this week for your parish mission. Some of you may be familiar with our little community through someone like Father Benedict Rochelle or Father Andrew Apostoli, often seen on EWTN. They're part of the who's who in religious life. I'm one of the who's you. But we come from the South Bronx, that's right, Da Bronx, to join with you this week. And really, it is our privilege, our honor, because quite honestly, we are coming for a little payback for one of your very own. Brother Andre was a member here of this parish at St. Mary's. Actually, truth be known, he was from across the river in Iowa in what I think is known as West East Dubuque. At least that's what I was told last evening. But it is our privilege to be able to join with you during these days, and I would like to strongly encourage, in fact, I'm big enough to drag, I would like to drag some of you here that you might experience, by God's grace, this time of prayer and this time of reflection, this time of the parish mission. It will begin each night at 7 o'clock, beginning this evening. Today's gospel, Jesus sets before us a challenge, a real challenge. One, if we are honest with ourselves, kind of strikes at the heart of who we are, particularly as an American people who have been so blessed in many ways. Jesus challenges us to a life of humility. You know, I think there's often a mistaken understanding of what humility is really all about. A lot of people means, well, you can just run over me, kind of meek, I'm kind of timid, hidden away. But really, Jesus himself was a humble man. He it is who came amongst us as man, emptied himself of his divinity. In fact, St. Paul says in Philippians, he did not grasp equality with God, something to be grasped at, but emptied himself, humbled himself, coming amongst us in human likeness. Indeed, even as a servant, or as some translations would say, even as a slave. We know on the last night, prior to his crucifixion, he gathered his most intimate disciples together. And then, to their shock and amazement, he knelt down in front of them, their Lord, their Master, their Rabbi, their teacher. And he washed their feet. True humility, dear brothers and sisters, is not merely being timid and kind of hiding back in the shadows, but rather, with the grace of God, strength under control, it is being of service to others. But we know well that the challenge that we face in our society, in our schools, in our places of work, even within the context of our own homes, we are constantly being challenged to look out for number one. I mean, how many commercials? Now, we don't have television in our community, but aren't those some of those communities like, you deserve a break today, or have it your way, or just do it, or whatever. Everything is focused on me, myself, and I, that unholy Trinity. And yet the Lord, in his mercy and his grace, is inviting us to more intimate relationship, recognizing that if we come with humble hearts, recognizing that we are here to serve, that he is the one who will raise us up. You know, the challenge that we so often face is that we have been well-educated and blessed as a people. And because of that, we can be so easily distracted, thinking, somehow I need to take care of myself. Somehow I need to provide for myself. And yet the Lord, in mysterious ways, reveals to us his love, often when we are most humble. If I may, I'd like to share a little bit about my own story. I am the oldest of seven boys. There were no girls in my family. My mother claimed she wouldn't have known what to do with one. I'm sure she would have figured it out. And quite honestly, I feel a little sorry for my younger brothers, Sarah and Elizabeth, but actually, they're not named that. my my nieces and nephews, her grandchildren are, however. She finally got a grandchild who was a girl. But my dad was an Irish immigrant, came to this country when he was a young lad and worked very hard. He eventually became a lawyer and felt that one of the things that was most important for him was education. And so when I was 13 years old, I was sent away to a Catholic boarding school, all boys, rather exclusive place in Rhode Island. I grew up in Connecticut, a place where I was to get, and did get indeed, a fine education. I don't know if you've ever been to New York, but there's a big department store, Bloomingdale's store, maybe you've heard of it. I went to school with Bobby Bloomingdale. Grace Shipping Lines, famous shippers, big ship liners, ocean liners. I went to school with Charlie Grace. Perhaps you've heard of Gillette Razor. I went to school with Richard Frawley, whose father owned Gillette. And for some reason, we never got along. I don't know what the problem was. But these were the hoity-toity. These were people who had it made. Although my father had a good job as a lawyer, in fact, he was the lawyer for the Knights of Columbus, we had six boys and we were big. I was the runt of the family, by the way. You mess with the Murphy boys, you better be in the state of grace. But we found ourselves struggling hard, and quite frankly, at the end of those years, it was in the middle 70s, I decided that I wasn't going to go off to the university. I was going to take a year off between high school and college because I wanted to do something different. I wanted a break from religion and money. I had to get away from it all. And I ended up in the mountains of Appalachia, in the backwoods of Kentucky, 8 miles back a dirt road, working for a social agency that was there to help and assist the poor. And on this particular occasion, I was asked to build a porch, just a front porch. A man wanted a porch on his house. When I arrived, quite frankly, I was stunned because he didn't need a porch. He needed a house. He had no running water, no electricity. You could look into the house without looking through an open door or window because the cracks were this big. He had to go behind the house to do his business, if you know what I mean. And this fellow wanted a porch. If he sneezed, the house would be gone. There'd be nothing left. I'm sure if you go back there now, you go back 8 miles back this dirt road, you're going to find just a porch. No house, just a porch. Some anthropologists are going to say, oh, look, in the old days, all they did was build porches, right? Well, here I am building a porch, 17-year-old kid in the mountains of Appalachia, 8 miles back at dirt road. And quite honestly, if you've ever worked with the poor, you know that the more you do, the more there is to do. And quite frankly, I was getting really frustrated because here there was so much that needed to be done. He needs a house. He wants a porch. I have everything. He has nothing. I'm kind of miserable. This is driving me crazy. And you know the worst part about it? He was happy. He was happy. I should be happy. I had nothing. I was miserable. He's happy. I'm helping him. He's happy. I'm miserable. What goes? And you know what was even worse? He's smiling at me. And he didn't even have any teeth. I thought I would lose my mind. Well, being this snotty-nosed kid from Connecticut with all this great education, I looked at him and I said, "Why are you so happy?" Without a moment's hesitation, this older fellow looked at me and he says, "'Cause I know Jesus." Now, I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters. I thought I was a pretty good Catholic kid. 12 years of the best Catholic education. I'm smart. I went to an Ivy League university afterwards. I was first in my class in the seminary. That's not to impress you, although I hope you're duly impressed. It's merely to tell you that I know my faith. So I looked at this fellow and I said to him, I know Jesus. And he looked at me and he shook his head. He says, "Nah, you know about him, but you don't know him. Because if you really knew him, you'd be happy too." You know, too often, dear brothers and sisters, many of us, as good Catholics, church-going on Sunday, we know all about the faith. I gave you any kind of exam here. Who is Jesus Christ? I'm sure you'd tell me he's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. You'd get 100%, no doubt. But so often we know so much about him, but we don't know him. And in humility, we need to come and say, Lord, I need to know you. That night after this encounter with this man, I went back to the house where I was staying, and I was sitting out on a front porch, not one that I built, sitting out on the porch looking up at the sky filled with stars, a moonless night. And probably for the first time in my life, I prayed as a young 17-year-old kid. And there I stood and looking up at the skies, and this is my prayer. Lord, if you really exist, I don't want to know about you. I want to know you. Now I'll be honest. I didn't cut my hair and grow a beard and put on gray all at once. But something happened in my heart that night, and I began to experience falling in love, deeply in love with the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord, out of love for us, calls us to a life of humility. Not one where we're stepped on and pushed into the corners and timid souls. No. One who, like himself, are called to serve. But he comes as one who wants to serve us and draw us into relationship with himself. And so I encourage you. I challenge you. I'm Franciscan. I beg you to come to the parish mission. To humble your hearts throughout this week so that we might experience together, truly together, the grace of God at work in our lives. We know, if we are honest, that life is difficult. One of the privileges for me is working in the South Bronx with the homeless, and frankly, I like it. People ask me if I'm worried about walking the streets of the South Bronx. No way. Someone this size, they cross to the other side of the street. And if I'm in trouble, I just go like this. You know? They don't bother with me, okay? But I love working in the South Bronx. Why? Because there people are poor and they know it. And they recognize their needs. The difference really between the South Bronx and suburbia is oftentimes in suburbia we can cover up the hurts and the challenges, the difficulties we experience. We live in a time that's very difficult financially, as a country, as a world. Terrorism, the fears, the breakdown in family life, the separation in relationships. The Lord in his mercy and his love wants to draw us to himself so that humbly we might experience his provision for our lives, because all too often we try to do it on our own. I invite you to come, beginning this evening at 7 o'clock. It will run tonight through Wednesday evening. It'll be a time of prayer and adoration. A preaching for myself or one of the other priest friars will be with us, music led by one of our brothers, an opportunity just together as a parish community to humble our hearts before the Lord and allow him quite simply to love us, that we might get to know him more deeply, not just know about him. God loves us. God loves you. He loves you very much. And I encourage you to come. And don't be afraid to bring the little ones. I'm louder than them all. Bring the young adult. We were at, where were we the other day? Where were we for lunch, breakfast? The Village Inn, okay. There was a waitress there who thought the Jedi Knights had shown up. We wear our habits all the time. I'll tell you, we turn heads in most places we arrive. Even the waitress told us she'll be here. Because, quite frankly, God is at work, moving our hearts. Come. Come join us. Come experience the love of God. And don't be afraid to come to know him, not just about him, because he wants to know you very deeply. Blessed be his holy name, now and forever.